morning is from the epistle lesson that was just read from Ephesians. If I were to ask you a question, who are you? You might come up with different answers. Outside of your name, you might say, well, I'm a wife, or a husband, a mother, I'm a father, grandmother. You might say, I'm a business manager, a technology guru, a great tennis player, an athlete. In other words, we have a tendency to define ourselves in terms of our family relationships, of what our occupation is, or what you have achieved in life. And you know, today our society measures worth and value according to one's economic success and ability or personality. But is that really who we are? In the movie Anger Management, Jack Nicholson plays a therapist who's counseling Adam Sandler regarding his anger outbursts. In one group session, Nicholson asks Sandler, who plays the character Dave. And he says, Dave, tell us who you are. Dave responds, well, I'm an executive at a major company. Nicholson quickly interrupts and says, Dave, I don't want you to tell us what you do, who you are. Then Dave retorts, I'm a nice guy, easygoing, maybe indecisive at times. And Nicholson interrupts again, Dave, you're telling me about your personality. Tell us who you are. Finally, Dave throws up his arms and says, well, what do you want me to say? Give me a good example of what you mean. And Nicholson retorts, what, Dave, you want us to tell you who you are? Then he finally says, I think we're done here. And I think what Nicholson was getting at in the movie is that our essence as a human being goes to the identity of who we are. You know, our culture today speaks about identity, identity politics, sexual identity, gender identity, racial identity, all outward forms of describing who we are as humans. But the point they miss is that our identity comes from God. We are all created in the image of God. That is our essence of who we are as human beings. The Apostle Paul in our epistle this morning talks about our identity being in Jesus Christ and that we are to become imitators of God. If you remember 2 weeks ago, I talked about what it is to be filled with the fullness of God and how we are continually filled with his fullness. You know, the book of Ephesians is packed with good stuff. Understanding the promises of God and all the spiritual blessings he gives us. Diving into this letter is like going to Ruth's Chris for a nice steak dinner, not Taco Bell. Not that I'm against Taco Bell, but I'd rather take Ruth's Chris any day. In chapter 1 and 2 of his letter, Paul states that, you know, the Ephesian Christians were chosen by God before the foundation of the world, that they were saved by grace through faith, and not of any work that they did. Then he went on to say that you are given the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of your redemption, and you are created by God for good works. This is your identity, Paul says, and it is also our identity in Christ. So Paul begins our reading this morning by telling the Ephesians, now this I say and testify in the Lord. In other words, he's saying, I insist on this, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. In other words, because we've been called by Christ and our identities in Christ, we are to be different, to live a different life, to imitate God in a culture of darkness. He is saying to the Ephesian Christians, you are not to live like the pagans do. Why? Because Paul also says in Romans, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. And don't we live in a culture today that suppresses the truth? For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but their foolish hearts became darkened. He uses that term again. We look at our culture of ungodliness today, really not much different than Paul's time. Religion and God or Christianity are becoming more and more irrelevant. We have today's rampant sexual immorality and lawlessness. All that matters is the autonomy of the individual. I am what matters. I am my own God. That's the mantra of our culture. Christianity becomes derided and out of touch. I was appalled what happened at the opening of the Olympic ceremonies where they had drag queens put on a display mocking the Lord's Supper. Who would ever think such a thing could take place? How deep is our culture going into the depths of depravity? That's why Paul says you are not to live like that. And he says in verse 20, that is not the way you learned Christ. Paul insists that because of what Jesus has done for us, we now have a new identity. We are to conform to the image of Christ, to imitate Christ. Paul also reminds us in Romans 12 that we are not to be conformed to this world and its ways, but rather transformed by the renewal of your mind. As we heard in the gospel this morning, Jesus conformed his everyday to the will of his Father. And he said, I don't seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And he died and rose again for us that we might be made right with God and transformed into his image. And I think many people conform to this world's standards today and beliefs without really knowing any better. They are like what Paul says, darkened in their understanding. And we don't have to be drag queens or atheists to let our hearts become hardened to the things of God. We still carry around in us that sinful nature that wars against us every day to become indifferent to the things of God, to wander off into sin. That's why we need Jesus. We need renewal. So are you ready for some filet mignon? Paul goes on to tell us that the way you were taught in Christ in verse 22 to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and here it is, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. To put off the old self and put on the new self created after the likeness of God in righteousness and holiness. You see, because you are claimed by God in baptism, you have a new identity. You are now crucified with Christ and raised to a new life in him. Martin Luther said, in baptism, we daily drown that old Adam, that sinful nature, and we put on the new nature through the Holy Spirit. You know, your baptism was not just a one-time event when you got water poured over your head, but it's a daily journey of repentance and faith. It's a daily death and resurrection because our identity now is in Christ. We live in that tension. But guess what? Christ has won the victory for us. The Bible says that anyone who is in Christ is a new creature. The old has passed and the new has come. Then Paul goes on to say that not only we put off the old self, that was done in your baptism. It was crucified with Christ. His death is your death. His resurrection is your resurrection. That is his promise to you. But then he says, but be renewed in the spirit of your minds, in your thinking. in your passions, in your desires, to be renewed. You might ask, well, how do I become renewed each day in a world that's constantly dragging me down? Well, you know what? Every day, God renews us with his love and mercy. Every time we gather here for worship, God renews us by the hearing of his word and the feeding of our faith with his true body and his blood. When we come to this table, we are taking in Jesus. You are assured of the forgiveness of your sins and renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's renewal. Every time you pick up a Bible and meditate on God's word, you are being renewed in your mind. Just soak it in. Because the more you get into the word gets into you. Every time we confess our sins and receive his complete forgiveness, like we did this morning, that's powerful. We're being renewed. We're being set back on track. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, he remembers our sins no more. Because of what Jesus has done for us by going to the cross to take the punishment for all our sins, and rising from the dead to claim victory over sin, death, and the world, we have a new identity. We can now become imitators of God, transformed into the image of Christ. Paul ends our epistle in verses 25 to 32 with some practical ways to imitate God. Are you ready? He says, put away falsehood and speak the truth with one another. You would want someone to speak the truth with you, right? And not lie? So don't lie. It's okay to be angry, but don't let your anger turn into rage or bitterness, harboring a grudge. Let it go. Practice forgiveness. No longer steal, but do honest work and share with others in need. Make that a priority, to share with others in need. Let no foul or obscene language come from your mouth, but only say things to build one another up. Stop before you say it. Is it building up or is it tearing down? Stop before you hit the send button on that email. You really want to send that out because you're hot and you're angry? Maybe it's time to cool off. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. As Paul said in the first chapter, you're given the Holy Spirit as a deposit, a down payment on your salvation. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. But always give thanks and praise to God for all the blessings in your life. Get rid of all bitterness, wrath, slander, and oh yes, gossip. How easy it is to want to gossip. Think again before you say it. Make a daily practice of showing kindness to one another, forgiving each other as Christ has forgiven you. Even when you don't feel like it. These are the things Paul is telling the Ephesian Christians to do, to be imitators of God because of what Jesus has done for us. And he's saying that to you and me today. Brothers and sisters, we can only live this way because of what Jesus has done for us. But know this, because your identity is in Christ, you are being renewed each day by the Holy Spirit, who enables you to become an imitator of God, to live a life of love, just as Christ offered himself for us as a sacrifice to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let us rise.